Very famous verse. A good verse, right? John 3:16. A good verse when we're talking about Christians, like Marley's grandma, that eternal life. Good news. All right, there we go. We've got the slides up there. Seven. Everyone say seven. Seven. That's what we're on about this morning, but we'll get there in a moment. You'll have to keep in suspense until we get to that part. I wonder what life will be like if we lived every single moment of our lives as Christians, actually living out, believing that everything Jesus said was true. What if we lived every single moment of our lives like that, actually that everything Jesus said was true, and every thought, every action flowed from those truths of what we know about Jesus? I mean, what if we lived every moment actually knowing that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us? And we lived every moment like that. What if we lived in the truth that Jesus is the King of all people and all nations and all things? What if every moment, every Christian lived with that attitude, knowing that Jesus is the King? What if we lived every moment in the truth and Jesus said, don't worry? And that was our life story. We never worried because Jesus said, don't worry. Or what if we lived every moment not storing up treasures on earth and not ever worrying about money, loving our enemies, never coveting? I wonder what life would be like if all of us Christians lived every moment actually living out, believing everything that Jesus said. Life would go pretty good, I think, wouldn't it? Unfortunately, we're human, right? And you're probably a bit like me. You're a slow learner. Did you know that? Yeah, you nod your head. You're a slow learner. Yes. You know, sometimes, you know, I'll be talking, I've been a Christian a fair while now, and I grew up knowing all about Jesus as a child. I mean, as a late teens, made that more personal commitment myself to Jesus, you know, more than nearly 25 years ago that was. And still, you know, I'm praying to God. I'm saying, God, are we still working on this? You know, and God's saying, yeah, I'm asking you the same thing. You know, are we still working on this, Matt? But we're all on a journey, aren't we? That's the thing. Some of you might be on a journey. You're trying to work out, who on earth is this Jesus? What on earth are we talking about? Is he actually the Messiah that we just read about? Hopefully, most of us in this place are on a journey trying to be more and more like Christ. We talked about discipleship last year, becoming more like Christ. Hopefully, more and more of us are actually concerned about knowing God more and loving God better and following our King Jesus more and more in our life, that we want to grow in that relationship. And it is a relationship, isn't it? You can know about someone but not really know them, can't you? I mean, look at the social media world. Now, probably a lot of people here on social media. I mean, who's on some form of social media? Probably, I know there's a fair few in the, yeah, a lot of us, right? Now, you can know about people on social media but not really know them, can't you? And I have this thing on my Facebook account where I've got all these people that have asked to be my friends on Facebook, but if I don't really know them, I don't want to accept them as a friend, right? But I said to Samantha, I don't want to decline them as a friend either. I have this thing, I feel bad declining them. So they just sit in this limbo land. I've asked Matt to be my friend and he never tells me one way or the other. You know, I don't want these. Sorry if you're in that list somewhere lost. You might be in there somewhere going, Matt won't be my friend. I try and friend all the church people because you're my church. But there's all these other. I met this guy yesterday at the park, and I'm down the park in Wombra on the Central Coast, and this random guy says, hey, excuse me, did you go to Moreland College? I'm like, yes, you know, and it turns out he was in some of my college classes and we've got all these connections at different places and churches. It was really interesting. And at the end, of course, he said, oh, I'll find you on Facebook. I'll be your Facebook friend. <I'm> like, okay. So there's another one to go on my little list of people that you kind of know, but you don't really know. Even in this church, there'd be people that you could know a bit about. You might know their hobbies. You might know a little bit about them, right? But you don't really know their doubts, their fears, the sins they're struggling with, do you? You can know about someone but not really know them. Well, in this series that we're going to do this term, I want us to think about both those things. We need to know about Jesus in our head, but we need to know Jesus in our hearts. We need to have a relationship. He's a living King Jesus, isn't he? He's not just some figure of our imagination. He's not just some person that lived 2,000 years ago, then died and doesn't exist. He's this living Savior that you're supposed to have a relationship with. And this series, we want to, again, maybe some people for the first time learn who this Jesus is, but probably most of us, again, reflect on who is Jesus for me and what does that mean for my life? Because our relationship with Jesus means so much. And all around us, people are giving us a different picture of who Jesus is. There's all these crazy things happening in our world. They're wanting to deny Jesus, and we've got to be able to know about him. We've got to be able to know what he means to our life, to say to people, this is what it means to me, my experience of Jesus. Because we need to grow in faith and the world needs to know about Jesus. So we're going to do a bit of an introduction today on this series that we're going to look at this term. But what I want to do before we just go through a couple of thoughts is we're going to pray. You're going to close your eyes. Everyone close your eyes. And this is the time to pray that you will have your ears and your eyes open to see what Jesus wants to teach about you. It's not the time to pray for your friend or your relative, that's difficult relative that's turning up for lunch today, or your sick neighbor. This is the time to pray for you and say, during this term, I really want my eyes and ears open that I'll know you, Jesus. So just take a moment for you to pray for your relationship with Jesus. Lord Jesus, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear what you're teaching us about our relationship with you. Give us the wisdom to understand it in our head and the wisdom to live it out in our lives, to experience your love for us. And so, Lord Jesus, we surrender to you. We just sang before, I will fall at your feet. And they are words of surrender to King Jesus. And so help us to do that this term, God, as we today just get the introduction, but each week as we explore a bit about who this Jesus is. Help us, God, to learn and to grow in faith and to have a deeper relationship with our Savior, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in the Bible, the number 7 is a pretty important number. And in Hebrew thought, and remember the Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek, Jesus, of course, it came from Israel, the promise through Israel. And 7 was a pretty important number, and it represented wholeness and completeness and perfection, this number 7. And we see 7 a lot through the Bible. It's something like 500 or 600 times multiples of 7 are given in the Bible in a whole lot of ways. Starts with creation, right? How many days? 7. Animals, before they were sacrificed, had to be 7 days old. How many clean animals went into the ark? Clean animals, how many? Not 2. 7. 7. 2 of the unclean and 7. Joshua marched around Jericho how many times? How many days? 7 days. And then on the 7th day, how many times did he have to march around? 7 times. Naaman the leper, to get complete healing, had to bath how many times? 7 times to get his leprosy off him. The Babylonian captivity was 70 years. The prophecies in Daniel are multiples of 7. Jesus spoke how many things from the cross? 7 sayings from the cross. In Revelation, there's 7 bowls, 7 letters to 7 churches, 7 stars, 7 angels, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7. This image of 7 being this wholeness and perfection is throughout Hebrew thought. Now, before you go and buy a lottery ticket with the number 7, 17, 70, 77, we do have to be a little careful not reading too much into numbers. We've got to be careful. There's a lot of people that have come up with all these Bible puzzles through numbers, and I just go, what on earth are you talking about? But there is something interesting about this number 7 that often in Hebrew thought denoted completeness or wholeness. Well, why does that even matter? Because our series, this term, is called 7. Now, I wonder, put your hand up if you think you know where we're going with this already. Anyone? And that doesn't count if you're at the pastoral care or elders meeting the other day and no one knew. No? No, everyone's still confused. That's good. It's good to be confused. That leads you into it. Now, some of you are probably thinking it's the 7 deadly sins, right? No, we're not going to be that negative. We're going to do something much more positive than that. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. And there's 2 significant lots of 7 in the Gospel of John in how he writes his book. He writes his book around these 2 lots of 7 in his book. And I was trying to work out which one we're going to do this term, so we're doing both, okay? So some week you're going to get 2 short sermons and 1 week they combine together. So you just have to stick with me. Then the focus really is on our relationship with Jesus, getting to know Jesus better in our heads, getting to live out Jesus better in our hearts. But we need to have a bit of a background for this series this morning, briefly this morning. So it is going to be based on the Gospel of John. Now, I know a lot of you know this, but some might be new to the Bible and that. New Testament written after Jesus. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, books all written about Jesus' life, death and resurrection. So you've got these 4 books, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Matthew, Mark and Luke called the Synoptic Gospels. Now, there's a theological word. Everyone say synoptic. Synoptic. What do you think that means? They're same. That means they're similar, the same. They use the same sort of language. In fact, if you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a whole lot of passages where it's word for word from one book to the other. And they use a lot of the same stories, and they all use this language of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. They have the same theme, the same language, the same stories, heaps of miracles, and a whole lot of stuff. John, however, is a little bit different. And we're going to have a look at John. That's good, isn't it, to be a bit different? John uses some different kind of much more theological language. John talks a lot more about the Holy Spirit. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus, we barely get any of his words about the Holy Spirit. John talks about the Holy Spirit a lot more and prayer a lot more. Much more theological imagery and symbolism. Now, John was one of Jesus' closest friends, and this is one of the exciting things when we're reading this stuff. We're not talking about someone that, you know, 500 years later. You know, a lot of the history you read in schools and things, it's on history that was written 1,000 years after the person lived, right? And here we're going to be looking at the book of John, which was written by one of Jesus' closest friends while he's on earth. You might know he had a whole lot of disciples. There's one point where Jesus sends 70 people out, but he had a smaller group of how many? 12. And then he had a close little group within that 12. These weren't his Facebook friends. These were his close friends, right? Of 3. And they were Peter, James, and John. And these 3 guys were Jesus' closest friends during his ministry on earth. And they spent lots of time with him. Lots of time. And so we're not talking about someone here who is distant from Jesus. We're talking about someone here who is very, very close to Jesus. And that's why we have passages like in John 19, verse 35. It says this. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you can believe. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account, one of Jesus' closest friends that we're going to hear from over the next few weeks. John at the Last Supper is said to be the one that was reclining next to Jesus at that first communion meal. John is the one who, when Jesus is dying on the cross, Jesus looks down and sees his mother there, and he says to John, "Here is your mother," and to John and to his mother, "Here is your son." So John is that close to Jesus that when Jesus is dying, he's the one that's going to kind of adopt Jesus' mother to look after. This is how close John is. So it's exciting, I think, to think we're going through this book that's that close to who Jesus is, right? You excited? Oh, no one else is excited. Come on, someone get excited. Yes, thank you. Now, one of the really helpful things with John is this. He tells us exactly why he wrote the book. A lot of Bible books in the Bible, you get all these scholars arguing and debating why they wrote this letter. Why did Paul write to Colossians? Why did Paul write to Ephesians? And they debate all this stuff. Why? John, it's real easy because we read it this morning. He told us exactly why he wrote this book. John 20, 30 to 31. We read it before. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So that's the first part. He wrote all this stuff in John so that people would believe that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah, the sent one, the Son of God. That's the first thing. But also that by believing in him, you may have what? Life. So there's this relational part, right? Know in our heads that Jesus is the one that was predicted, get the information, he's the Son of God, the Messiah that was prophesied. But by knowing this, you would also experience this relationship. You'd have life in his name. The secret to life, a relationship with Jesus. Well, almost half the book of John focuses on just the last week of Jesus' life, that last Passion Week. It's quite amazing. Of everything written, just that last bit. But we're going to focus on more the first bit. Now, you're still wondering what the 7 is, aren't you? Say, yes, I'm still wondering, Matt. Well, John's book has 2 important themes with this number 7 running through his book. And it's these 2 things that we're going to look at during this term. He has 7 signs, he calls them, in his book. We'll get to that in a moment. And he has 7 I ams of Jesus. The only book that does this of the Gospels, right? His book is written around these 7 signs and the 7 I ams of who Jesus is. And so, first of all, we've got these 7 signs. And they all are leading up to Jesus, the ultimate sign, which is Jesus' resurrection from the dead himself. And these seven signs, Matthew, Mark, and Luke have got heaps more miracles, heaps more. But John has picked just seven signs to show us who this Jesus is. And we're going to go through those each week coming up. The water into wine, healing the official son, healing a paralytic, feeding the 5,000, walking on water, healing of the blind man, and the raising of Lazarus. So he's picked these seven signs. Now, the interesting thing too is this. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, whenever they talk about miracles, they use a completely different word to describe them. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke use this word that means deeds of power. But John uses this special word, sign. Because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these deeds of power were showing that the kingdom of God had broken in, that this kingdom had come and had broken in. But in John, John wants us to know the king. Yes, the kingdom of God has come, but John wants us to know the king. And these signs are to point to Jesus the king. Now, signs can be difficult at times because signs can be confusing, can't they? You've probably seen a few confusing ones. You know, garbage only, no trash. You like those ones? Signs can be confusing if we don't understand what they're really pointing to. And so we've got to have a look at these seven signs that John has given us. Why is he given these specific seven, and what do they tell us about our relationship with Jesus? So seven signs that he's given us. What was the purpose? Why did he write the book? He's given us these signs so that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and so that we will have life in his name. That's why he's written these specific seven signs, and the actual Greek word that's used means something that's pointing to something else. So these signs are something that's pointing to who Jesus is. So each week we're going to have a look through and hopefully understand who Jesus is, but hopefully think about our relationship with Jesus, because we don't just want just information. And even Jesus said that to people in John. He was talking to these religious leaders that you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So it's no good just knowing some of the facts and then not having a relationship with Jesus and actually living out the things he says. And so that's the first part of our series of seven that we're going to be looking at this term as we think about our relationship with Jesus, the seven signs in John. Okay, you got that? And the next thing that John does in his book that the other Gospels don't is he has these seven I am statements of Jesus. Now, there's a whole, you know, I am the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, I'm the door or the gate, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the resurrection and the life, I'm the way, the truth and the life, I'm the true vine. So we're going to be looking at these seven I am's as well. Now, it's interesting at times to hear what people in the media say about other people, and then you go and find out what they actually said. You know what I mean? You got to go to the source. And one of the reasons we're doing this is because we want to go, well, people can tell me about Jesus, that's great. Why don't we go and see what Jesus actually said about himself? Maybe that might be helpful, do you think? See what Jesus actually said about himself. Because Jesus in John makes these seven statements. Let me tell you what I am. I am. It's easy to hear what others say about Jesus, and it happens all the time in the media, it happens with Christian leaders. I enjoy reading some of Rick Warren's books and things, but a whole lot of people. He went to this religious forum that tried to look at how we can love each other, you know, Muslims and Christians, and a whole lot of Christians came out and said, oh, he's, you know, not teaching them and that anyone goes to heaven and all these things about him, and just badmouth Rick Warren, all these things. I thought, well, I might go and see what Rick Warren has to say about it. And I Googled and found a video that he's recorded himself and said, Jesus is the only way. No other way. But he's just trying to build bridges, right, with other people, rightly or wrongly. So it's easy to see what others say about people, but let's see what the person says themselves. And so in John, we're going to look at what people say, because there's a whole lot of people saying things about Jesus. I've had a couple of times the Jehovah's Witness come to my door and make friends with me and then tell me that we're the same. And I tell them we're not the same. And they say, oh, we're the same. And then I say, no, we're not the same. Let's talk about Jesus. And they have a different idea of who Jesus is. A very different idea of who Jesus is. They have a different idea of what it means to be accepted by Jesus. A bit of Jesus and a bit of works, some things that you have to do. And so I'm going to want to stick with what Jesus does with these signs and what Jesus says himself. Do you follow? If we're going to learn about Jesus, we want to look at what Jesus did and what John, one of his closest friends, eyewitness, saw him do. And we want to look at what Jesus said himself and then think about what does that mean for our relationship with Jesus. And this language that Jesus uses, of the I am, it reminds me too of God in Exodus. Because way back in Exodus, and Moses said, "Who are you?" when he was trying to know who this God was. And God said, "I am who I am." And he said, "You shall say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me." That's his name, I am. Now, it's an interesting name. It's a name that means complete self-existence, that he doesn't rely on anyone else. It's like in Revelation, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God is self-sufficient and self-existent. He doesn't need anyone else. He's God. And so then Jesus comes and makes these I am statements. No beginning, no end. And in fact, Jesus in John 8, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was ever born, I am." At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him, to kill him, but Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. So there Jesus claimed to be God, and the religious leaders didn't like it, and they went to kill him. And so that's what this series of seven is going to be about. It's going to be about thinking through what Jesus means to us, thinking through some of the information, but thinking through what our relationship with Jesus and wrestling with these seven signs that John has given us that point to who Jesus is and the seven I ams that Jesus has said about himself. And as I said, some weeks where we've got Jesus feeding the 5,000 and Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." That'll be one sermon together. And then other weeks you'll get two short parts to the sermon. Can you handle that? You can handle that? Something a bit different? But I think it's really important that we reflect on our relationship with Jesus. We look at one of Jesus' closest friends in John, and we see what Jesus said about himself and see what these signs mean. Because all around us, people are telling us not to follow Jesus, that there is no ultimate truth, that any one thing goes. And we want to say, no, look, let me tell you what Jesus says. Amen? So let's think about our relationship with Jesus. So just while the band's getting up here ready, I want you to chat to your neighbour around you. If you haven't got one, you've got to find a neighbour. One reflection from today that's going through your head. It might be a question, something you're confused about, something you're thinking about. One reflection that's going through your head on this series of seven from John.